O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. One day, Brendan was coming home when a homeless woman asked him for money. He said honestly that he had no money. But by the end of the week, she'd asked two more times, and each time he'd answered, no. Finally, she said, you better not, because every day you say no. That was a bit awkward. So he offered, I'm on my way to a job interview. If I get the job, I will take you out for Chinese food. This promise gave way to a friendship that neither were prepared for, that changed the direction of their lives. Brendan got a job, but their friendship didn't just end with Chinese food. They built a friendship of mutual support, spending their birthdays, holidays and tough times together. And over a period of 8 years, when Brendan's heater broke, she made him a blanket. 2 days later, when he told her that he lost his job, she disappeared, returning with groceries for him, and continued to do so throughout the winter. Even with so little, she never hesitated to give back. True story. Our reading, which we had, and if you were to read the other two readings, which you can do maybe later in the day from Leviticus and 1 Corinthians 13, but the Bible as a whole is somewhat uncompromising in its demand to love and care for our neighbours. A neighbour in Scripture is often portrayed as the person in need, the poor, the oppressed, the robbed, the social outcast. I think this is because it's easier to help our friends than it is to, and the people we like. But the genuineness of our faith becomes evident when we are obedient to God in our love of those others. Paul wrote to the Romans, love does no wrong to a neighbour. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And in 2 Timothy we read, God did not give us a spirit that makes us afraid, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. Or to put it another way, the Holy Spirit does not want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise, note that, to be wise and strong and to love them and enjoy being with them. The Bible doesn't want us to be afraid. Fear is the underlying cause of many relationship issues. Fear of being wrong. Fear of losing control. The fear of losing our identity, and so on. So where does this fear come from? What causes us to be afraid? Two things I suggest. Past experiences, and the choices. Secondly, the choices and judgments we make about people and ourselves. Now, we cannot deny the reality of past experiences, but we can choose how these experiences will affect our relationships. We can choose to be fearful, or we can choose to be confident. However, this is easier said than done, isn't it? At least speaking from my experience. Many prefer to remain shy or reserved and to maintain distance, to talk in pleasantries and never really get to know our neighbour. It is safer this way, but it's also lonelier. Our fears and experience also give rise to another problem of not allowing either yourself or others to change. Many people remain a problem because we refuse to let them be anything different than what we see them as. We decide that they've always been like this, and that is the way they will stay. We can become so used to the situation that we cannot think of it being any different. It does not seem conceivable that God wanted to be any different, we may think, and yet the Scripture says, the Holy Spirit does not want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong and to love them and enjoy being with them. Now, this is not a conditional statement. It implies that we could get on with our neighbours, and yet we don't. Try as we will. Sometimes our experience teaches us that it just doesn't work like that. For most of us, most of our lives, we can cover up our fears. But counsellors have found that around the 40-year mark, and I know that for many of us that's kind of in the distance, But around that mark, a change begins to occur and we find it more difficult to cover up. Many of the hang-ups that have been developing in relationships often break out during the midlife crisis years, which, of course, none of us ever admit to having. Or no other people with them. It doesn't, that's the way it works. We begin to make hasty decisions rather than examine all the facts. We prefer to listen to some information or speculate or listen to gossip. And because someone said that a neighbour is bad or wrong, we decide that that must be the way it is. And we would be upset if we were treated like that, wouldn't we? And yet, very often, that is the way in which it is. It's the human way of treating. It's what group dynamics. I don't know how many of us ever did group dynamics. I did it until it came out my ears. Everywhere I went when I was younger and early in ministry, there was another group dynamic course. And these kinds of things are reality. That's what they were teasing out. Yes, fear is a driving force, but the writer to Timothy says, the Holy Spirit does not want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong and to love them and enjoy being with them. Now, whatever we may feel about this, whatever justification we may feel for keeping our distance, for not letting people be any different to what our experience of them has been, God plainly sees it differently. And it can be different. Paul says, if anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have gone. Everything is made new. God wants us to love people and enjoy being with them. At times, this may feel too good to be true. Fear and love are opposites. John says, where God's love is, there is no fear. Because God's perfect love drives out fear. It is punishment that makes a person fear, so love is not made perfect in the person who fears. Did you hear that? So love is not made perfect in the person who fears. And God's perfect love drives out fear. God wants us to have a love that will enable us to enjoy being with people. This is how God wants it to be. He wants us to be whole and at home in all our relationships. He does not want us to have a problem with anxiety and fear. And here's the bonus. As our emotions are healed, so too will many of the physical problems that are developed because of our emotional distress. Now we must now ask, so how do we draw upon this love so that our relationships give us the freedom of heart and mind? Paul tells Timothy that we are to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. Remember, the most important relationship we have is the one with Jesus Christ. This relationship gives us the power and ability to love and to forgive. As Christians, we have this gift. If it is absent, it either needs to be stirred up or we need to invite Christ into our lives and relationships. As we welcome him, the Spirit will release love in us. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us the power to overcome our fears. Now, it needs to be noted that there are two in a relationship, or usually two in a relationship, unless it's a relationship with yourself, and then I suppose then there's me, mine, and myself, or whatever, how you say it. Do you know what I mean? There's two in a relationship, you and the other person. And you can do all in your power to resolve the fear, the distancing, and the problem. But you cannot make choices for someone else. You might try manipulating them. And my experience has been manipulated people are actually more resentful and angry at the end of the day. So that's not a smart road to go down. You cannot make choices for someone else. There will be times that no matter how hard we try to be good neighbours, no matter how much we put into resolving a conflict, if the other person will not move, then there is no more than you can do but to love them and to keep the opportunity for reconciliation open. I've often been in discussions with families, either the children have fallen out with mum and dad, or it's the other way around. The children have been estranged from their parents for all sorts of reasons. And one of the saddest things that seems to me that can occur is that there is a desperate want to bridge the gap, but they don't know how to do it. Can many of you remember the film Home Alone, the first one? In that there is the old guy, you know, who I don't know whether he's a neighbour or whatever, and he meets him. And the young lad discovers that he's estranged from his son. And the boy, the home alone boy, sort of moves him on, and it was in the end an interesting outcome of reconciliation. See, what had happened in that story, which is quite common, is that there is no bridge to come back over in either direction. And so I will say to people, what I want you to do is what I call baseline or first line communication. I want you to send birthday cards. I want you to send letters, so like once every 6 months or 3 months or whatever, on this understanding that you don't expect a reply. You see, sometimes we stop because we don't hear anything back. So we think, well, they're not interested in me, and therefore, you know. But what happens when you send the card and when you write the letter? It builds a bridge so that when the day comes, there's something for them to come back across. Does that make sense? And it seems the most profoundly simple thing, and yet very often our fears prevent us taking that. And there's a tragedy to that. We can only do so much, and that is an option that's available to us. So to conclude, to be a good neighbour at times will mean getting over our fears, past judgments and experiences, which I have to be honest for myself is sometimes a really, really, really high mountain to climb. But confront it, one must. It will mean believing God when he says that his love casts out anxiety and enables you to enjoy being with people. God has given us this ability. It may take time. It may take a long time. And that's the other thing I often find is people seem to lose the interest in investing the time. But it may take years. One doesn't know. I watched a film last night and two brothers have fallen out, always fallen out. And dad dies, and at the graveside, the one who'd done the most straining and the other one had done the most investing in his father. He tried to secure a reconciliation, and the other brother just turned away and walked. I thought, I understand the anger, I understand the frustration, I can see where he was coming from. He had borne the burden of caring for the father, and his younger son had not engaged in it at all. I understand where it's coming from. But to just walk away, there needs to be something. Sometimes really difficult. God has given us this ability as Christians. It may take time, but God is true to his word. Believe him to the extent that you can. Now, I find that Jesus doesn't ask us any more than the extent that you can. Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Isn't that what one father cried out? Sometimes we feel we've got to have the whole package deal of understanding and faith all in one instant moment. I don't think that's being real. It doesn't work like that. It's about standing where I can. God asks nothing more of us than doing that. A smile, a greeting, a conversation, a new relationship. Make your faith something that is equal to what you do. Act it out. Just do that. Put it into practice. So long as we say, I can't, you can't. But when you say, I can and I will, it will begin to happen. And who knows where it ends? Sometimes love comes softly. It's the name of a film, Love Comes Softly. I think it's rich. Sometimes love comes softly and it's full of surprises. Back to our friends, Brendan and Jackie. Over these years, Jackie moved from the streets to the subway station into a halfway house to the YMCA and is now moving into a flat. to celebrate the occasion, Brandon wanted to do something special for Jackie, and he went with her to Target. You know the Target stores. Went to Target and helped her to pick out everything that she needed for her flat, starting a registry. Then he set up a campaign to raise the money to pay the registry. It's now closed, along with an awesome video telling their story. You can see that online. While their original goal was to raise $500, the campaign went viral, and they've raised more than $6,000. And are now looking to use the extra funding to support other women in need. Frank Fredericks, who tells the story, goes on to say, Brendan isn't a Christian, and this isn't about out-Jesusing each other. It's not even a challenge to only Christians, but everyone who struggles, he says, with the desire to be a stakeholder in their community, and yet are overwhelmed by the reality, are living out that desire. Lord God, you call us to be neighbours, and sometimes we're not sure that we want to do that. Other times it just seems too difficult. Sometimes we've tried and we've met opposition, pain has resulted, or maybe we knew them and now become estranged. Help us, Lord, to make those choices, to seek to put the bridge down, so that in time it may be crossed. Help us, Lord, to say, I can and I will. And Lord, to believe you the extent that we can, and allow you to make up the rest. Lord, help us to be the neighbour you call us to be. In Jesus' name, Amen.